31. With every cough, Donald's ribs exploded into 1,000 splinters. This shrapnel pierced his lungs and his heart and sent a tidal wave up his spinal column. He was convinced this was taking place inside his body, these bombs of bone and nerve. Already he missed the simple torture of burning lungs and searing throat. His bruised and cracked ribs now made a mockery of old torments. Yesterday's misery had become nostalgic fondness. He lay on his cot, bleeding and bruised, having given up on escape. The door was sound, and the space above the ceiling panels led nowhere. He didn't think he was on the admin levels. Maybe security, perhaps residential, or some place he wasn't familiar with. The hallway outside remained eerily quiet. It could be the middle of the night. Banging on the door was brutal on his aching ribs, and shouting hurt his throat. But the worst pain was imagining what he'd dragged his sister into. What would become of her? When the guards or Thurman came back, he should tell them she was down there, beg for them to be merciful. She had been like a daughter to Thurman, and Donald was the only one to blame for waking her up. Thurman would see that. He would put her back under where she might sleep until the end came for them all. It would be for the best. Hours passed, hours of bruised swelling and feeling his pulse throb in 12 places. Donald tossed and turned, and day and night became even less distinguishable in that buried crypt. A feverish sweat overtook him, one born of regret and fear more than infection. He had nightmares of frozen pods set ablaze, of fire and ice and dust, of flesh melting and bone turning to powder. Falling in and out of sleep, he had another dream. A dream of a cold night on a wide ocean, of a ship sinking beneath his feet, the deck trembling from the savagery of the sea. Donald's hands were frozen to the wheel of the ship, his breath a fog of lies. Waves lapped over the rails as his command sank deeper and deeper. And all around him on the water were lifeboats ablaze. All the women and children burned out there, screaming, trapped in lifeboats shaped like cryopods that were never meant to reach the shore. Donald saw that now. He saw it awake, panting, coughing, sweating, as well as in his dreams. He remembered thinking once that the women had been set aside so that there would be nothing to fight over. But the opposite was true. They were there to give the rest of them something to fight for, someone to save. It was for them that men worked these dark shifts, slept through these dark nights, dreaming of what would never be. He covered his mouth, rolled over in bed, and coughed up blood. Someone to save. The folly of man. The folly of the blasted silos he had helped to build. This assumption that things needed saving. They ought to have been left on their own, both people and the planet. Mankind had the right to go extinct. That's what life did. It went extinct. It made room for the next in line. But individual men had often railed against the natural order. They had their illegally cloned children, their nano-treatments, their spare parts, and their cryopods. Individual men like those who did this. Approaching boots signaled a meal, an end to the interminable nightmare of being asleep with wild thoughts and lying awake with bodily pain. It had to be breakfast because he was starving. It meant he'd been up for much of the night. He expected the same guard who'd delivered his last meal. But the door cracked open to reveal Thurman. A man in security silver stood behind him, unsmiling. Thurman entered alone and shut the door, confident that Donald posed no threat to him. He appeared better, fitter, than he had the day before. More time awake, perhaps, or a flood of new doctors loosed in his bloodstream. "How long are you keeping me here?" Donald asked, sitting up. His voice was scratchy and distant, the sound of autumn leaves.
"Not long," Thurman said.
The old man dragged the trunk away from the foot of the bed and sat on it. He studied Donald intently.
"You've only got a few days to live."
"Is that a medical diagnosis or a sentencing?"
Thurman raised an eyebrow.
"It's both. If we keep you here and leave you untreated, you will die from the air you breathed. We're putting you under instead."
"God forbid you put me out of my misery."
Thurman seemed to consider this.
"I've thought about letting you die in here. I know the pain you're in. I could fix you or let you break all the way down, but I don't have the heart for either."
Donald tried to laugh, but it hurt too much. He reached for the glass of water on the tray and took a sip.
A pink spiral of blood danced on the surface as he lowered the glass.
"You've been busy this last shift," Thurman said. "There are drones and bombs missing. We've woken up a few of the people who went into freeze recently to piece together your handiwork. Do you have any idea what you've risked?"
There was something worse than anger in Thurman's voice. Donald couldn't place it at first. Not disappointment. It wasn't any form of rage. The rage had drained from his boots. This was something subdued. It was something like fear.
"What I've risked?" Donald asked. "I've been cleaning up your mess."
He sloshed water as he saluted his old mentor.
"The silos you damaged. That silo that went black all those years ago. It was still there. Silo 40, I know.
And 17. Donald cleared his throat. He grabbed the heel of bread from the tray and took a dry bite, chewed until his jaws ached, chased it with blood-smeared water. He knew so much that Thurman didn't. This occurred to him in that moment. All the talks with the people of 18, the time spent poring over drawings and notes, the weeks of piecing things together, of being in charge. He knew in his present condition that he was no match for Thurman in a fight, but he still felt the stronger of the two. It was his knowledge that made him feel that way.
17 wasn't dead, he said before taking another bite of bread. So I've learned.
Donald chewed.
I'm shutting down 18 today,
Thurman said quietly.
What that facility has cost us.
He shook his head, and Donald wondered if he was thinking of Victor, the head of heads, who had blown his own head off over an uprising that took place there. In the next moment, it occurred to him that the people he'd placed so much hope in were now gone as well. All the time spent smuggling parts to Charlotte, dreaming of an end to the silos, hope of a future under blue skies, all for nothing. The bread felt stale as he swallowed.
Why? He asked. You know why. You've been talking to them, haven't you? What did you think was going to become of that place? What were you thinking?
The first hints of anger crept into Thurman's voice.
Did you think they were going to save you? That any of us can be saved? What the hell were you thinking?
Donald didn't plan on answering, but a response came as reflexively as a cough.
I thought they deserved better than this. I thought they deserved a chance. A chance for what?
Thurman shook his head.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We planned for enough.
He muttered this last to himself.
The shame is that I have to sleep at all, that I can't be here to manage everything. It's like sending drones up when you need to be there yourself, your hand on the yoke.
Thurman made a fist in the air. He studied Donald a while.
You're going under first thing in the morning. It's a far cry from what you deserve. But before I'm rid of you, I want you to tell me how you did it. How you ended up here with my name. I can't let that happen again.
So now I'm a threat? Donald took another pull of water, flooding the tickle in his throat. He tried to take a deep breath, but the pain in his chest made him double over.
You aren't, but the next person who does this might be. We tried to think of everything, but we always knew the biggest weakness of any system, was a revolt from the top.
Black Silo 12, Donald said. He remembered that silo falling as a dark shadow emerged from its server room. He had witnessed this, had ended that silo, had written a report. How could you not expect what happened there? He asked.
We did. We planned for everything. It's why we have spares. It's why we have the right, a chance to try a man's soul, a box to put our ticking time bombs in. You're too young to understand this, but the most difficult task mankind ever tried to master, and that we never quite managed, was how to pass supreme power from one hand to the next.
Thurman spread his arms. His old eyes sparkled. The politician in him reawakened.
Until now. We solved it here with the cryopods and the shifts. Power is temporary, and it never leaves the same few hands. There is no transfer of power.
Congratulations, Donald spat, and he remembered suggesting to Thurman once that he could be president, and Thurman had suggested it would be a demotion. Donald saw that now.
Yes, it was a good system, until you managed to subvert it.
I'll tell you how I did it if you answer something for me. Donald covered his mouth and coughed. Thurman frowned and waited for him to stop.
You're dying, he said. We'll put you in a box so you can dream until the end. What could you possibly want to know?
The truth, I have so much of it, but still a few holes. They hurt more than the holes in my lungs.
I doubt that,
Thurman said, but he seemed to consider the offer.
What is it you want to know?
The servers. I know what's on them. All the details of everyone's lives in the silos, where they work, what they do, how long they live, how many kids they have, what they eat, where they go, everything. I want to know what it's for. Thurman studied him. He didn't say anything. I found the percentages, the list that shuffles. It's the chances that these people survive when they're set free, isn't it? But how does it know?
It knows, Thurman said. And that's what you think the silos do?
I think there's a war playing out, yes. A war between all these silos, and only one will win.
Then what do you need from me?
I think there's something else. Tell me, and I'll tell you how I took your place.
Donald sat up and hugged his shins while a coughing fit ravaged his throat and ribs. Thurman waited until he was done.
The servers do what you say. They keep track of all those lives and they weigh them. They also decide the lotteries, which means we get to shape these people in a very real way. We increase our odds, allow the best to thrive. It's why the chances keep improving the longer we're at this.
Of course. Donald felt stupid. He should have known. He had heard Thurman say over and over that they left nothing to chance, and wasn't a lottery just that? He caught the look Thurman was giving him.
Your turn, he said. How'd you do it?
Donald leaned back against the wall. He coughed into his fist while Thurman looked on, wide-eyed and silent.
It was Anna, Donald said. She found out what you had planned. You were going to put her under after she was done helping you, and she feared she would never wake up again. You gave her access to the system so she could fix your problem with 40. She set it up so that I would take your place, and she left a note asking for my help, left it in your inbox. I think she wanted to ruin you, to end this.
No,
Thurman said. Oh, yes, and I woke up and didn't understand what she was asking of me. I found out too late, and in the meantime, there were still problems with Silo 40. When I woke up and started this shift, 40...
40 was already taken care of,
Thurman said. Donald rested his head back and stared at the ceiling.
They made you think so. Here's what I think. I think Silo 40 hacked the system. That's what Anna found. They hacked their camera feed so we couldn't know what was going on. A rogue head of IT, a revolt from the top, just like you said. The cutting of the camera feeds was when they went black. But before that, they hacked the gas line so we couldn't kill them. And before that, they hacked the bombs meant to bring down their silos in case any of this happened. They worked their way backwards. By the time they went black, they were in charge. Like me. Like what Anna did for me.
How could they?
Maybe she was helping them. I don't know. She helped me. And somehow word spread to others. Or maybe by the time Anna was done saving your ass, she realized they were right and we were wrong. Maybe she left Silo 40 alone in the end to do whatever they pleased. I think she thought they might save us all.
Donald coughed and thought of all the hero sagas of old, of men and women struggling for righteousness, always with a happy ending, always against impossible odds, always bullshit. Heroes didn't win. The heroes were whoever happened to win. History told their story. The dead didn't say a word. All of it was bullshit.
I bombed Silo 40 before I understood what was going on, Donald said. He gazed at the ceiling, feeling the weight of all those levels, of the dirt and the heavy sky. I bombed them because I needed a distraction, because I didn't care. I killed Anna because she brought me here, because she saved my life. I did your job for you both times, didn't I? I put down two rebellions you never saw coming.
No.
Thurman stood. He towered over Donald.
Yes, Donald said.
He blinked away welling tears, could feel a hole in his heart where his anger toward Anna once lay. All that was there now was guilt and regret. He had killed the one who had loved him the most, had fought for the things that were right. He had never stopped to ask, to think, to talk.
You started this uprising when you broke your own rules, he told Thurman. When you woke her up, you started this. You were weak. You threatened everything, and I fixed it. And goddamn you to hell for listening to her, for bringing me here, for turning me into this.
Donald closed his eyes. He felt the tickle of escaping tears as they rolled down his temples, and the light through his lids quivered as Thurman's shadow fell over him. He braced for a blow. He tilted his head back, lifted his chin, and waited. He thought of Helen,
He thought of Anna. He thought of Charlotte. And remembering, he started to tell Thurman about his sister and where she was hiding before those blows landed, before he was struck as he deserved to be for helping these monsters, for being their unwitting tool at every turn. He started to tell Thurman about Charlotte, but there was a brightening of light through his lids, the slinking away of a shadow, and the slamming of an angry door.